Aloha, and this is Scott Gubby here from the Big Island of Hawaii. Welcome to Medicinal Foods Radio. Thanks to my lovely wife, Omra, for recording that beautiful introduction. And stay tuned at the end of the show for one of her original songs from her new CD, Wisdom of the Ages. I'd also like to thank our producer, Matt Navarro, and the entire United We Strike family. It's a pleasure to be sharing the airspace with all the hosts from Switzerland, the UK, Ireland, Chile, and New Zealand. We're all coming together to uplift, educate, and inspire people to free themselves from what Matt calls the stinky New World odor. Yes, there's a war being waged against the people for some time now, and one of the weapons they're using against us is food. These power trippers and their corporations have also hijacked our water, air, and seed supply. With today's leading causes of death being heart disease, cancer, and stroke, and one in three people dying of cancer, most likely linked to their diet, there's really an epidemic going on, one of malnutrition, with corporations pushing foods devoid of nutrients along with their drugs to cure the very diseases they've essentially created. So I created Medicinal Foods out of my desire to share what I learned along my quest for health. As I became more spiritually awakened, I realized the depth of the mind-body-spirit connection in relation to food that we feed our body temples. So take a look at the products we have over at medicinal-foods.com. I really wish I had these tools when I was overcoming chronic asthma, lung infections, and candida. You'll discover decadent raw chocolate, nutrient-dense superfoods, tonic herbs, nano-medicinal mushrooms, and a whole lot more. These products have stood the test of time and have helped me attain the radiant health I'm so glad to be able to share with you now. So head over to medicinal-foods.com and get my free ebook, The Raw Chocolate Diet, while you're at it. Today's show involves cracking the color code of foods and learning about how the color itself, in many cases, is the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow when it comes to medicinal foods. I'm always blown away by how much medicine there is in plants. The fact that they're so healing to our ailments seems divinely orchestrated. We've got to marvel at what's really going on in this relationship of these healing plants, the colors, and the beings who eat them. My guest today is wildly passionate about sharing ancient secrets and cutting-edge information about health and longevity. Here to drop the science and give us the full download of what's really going on in this exciting world of colors and food is none other than David Wolf himself. If you could put yourself on mute just for a little bit longer here. David brings over 16 years of experience as an extraordinary researcher, author, speaker, and raw food and health expert. The information David shares about the healing properties of medicinal plants touches people globally. Many seek his pearls of wisdom, from moms to celebrities. He's also the co-founder of thebestdayever.com and the president of the Fruit Tree Planting Foundation, with a righteous goal of planting 18 billion fruit trees. David is a man who walks his walk and speaks for the trees. He's also an amazing chocolatier and longtime friend. We've got a lot to learn about the healing abilities of the colors in food. I know this is going to be an exciting interview, so let's get right down to it. David, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your extremely busy schedule to speak to our audience. You always amaze me with your ability to continue to show up and make yourself available. So happy Valentine's Day to you and our listeners. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's great to be on the show and great to be talking to you, Sky. And we got a lot of great stuff to share. And happy Valentine's Day to everybody out there. This is the best day ever.
Awesome. I know it's been a while. I think the last time I saw you was out here in Hawaii at your fruit tree planting christening of your foundation's new land. And I think you're over there in Hawaii as well. Are you getting some of this wind?
Yeah, we are getting hammered by the wind. In fact, an old papaya tree here, the oldest on the property, came down on one of my best cacao trees, and we were able to extract that tree, which was also covered in vines, from the cacao, give the cacao tree a haircut, harvest a little bit of fruit, and save the vanilla on it. So that was my morning.
Oh, man. Awesome. I'm so there with you. We've got trees falling. We've got power outage in the local town. But I'm tuning in with you via satellite through our off-grid tropical fruit tree sanctuary that I know you've visited out here. But for your listeners, this place is called Hualani Sanctuary, which literally means fruitful heaven. So I know we both share a passion for growing tropical fruit trees, and we just got our first rounds of durian and mangosteen, so talk about exotic colors. I'm definitely looking forward to getting down to the nitty-gritty of what colors do for which different organs in what you call the color code. But first, when you told me about your new book, it's called Color Cure, correct?
That's right, The Color Cure.
I thought how eating colors is so perfect, such a perfect topic for Medicinal Foods radio show. And the color of foods obviously inspired you enough to write a book about it. Did you have an aha moment that brought you to the point of deciding to write the book? Or I know you've been a big proponent of over the years over phytonutrients. What was the tipping point that made you realize that you needed to get this information out on the next level?
I think it happened because it was a similar process that I went through with Shaga, you know, Shaga, King of the Medicinal Mushrooms, that book. And I just realized that no one had written a comprehensive book on Shaga in the English language ever, and there was no cutting edge research that had been done on it in decades. So I teamed up with a group in Toronto, and we pulled that book together with laboratory research and innovated and discovered a lot of amazing things about Shaga. And similar thing happened with the color cure. It was like nobody else would do it. Like, it kept getting thrown back at me, and it was like, all right, I guess I'm supposed to do this. So I dug into it, and I got to tell you, I was going to publish this book on April 7th. I'm pulling that back now, actually, because it's right now about the 600-page book. Wow. It's on its way to being an 800-page book. So
far down the rabbit hole do you want to go?
Yeah, this is the most incredible subject ever. And what's shocking about it is it's the most obvious thing of all time. There's nothing more obvious about food than its color. It is the most obvious thing about the food. It's crazy. There's nothing written to the layperson. There's a lot of scientific research. I mean, there are thousands of studies on the color pigments in food, but nothing's out there for the layperson. I mean, nothing. So,
wow.
And I went back to things like Dr. Gabriel Cousins' rainbow diet. You remember that? And it actually had mistakes in it. It had mistakes in it. It wasn't even accurate. And I was like, whoa. Yeah. So the only place I could really go to actually pull together the content of this book was actually scientific studies and journals and scientists. We're going to detail this and get into this. This is shocking stuff. Like, I got so far into this, I was basically like autistic for a whole summer. I couldn't do anything else except for just, there's like a type of autism where, you know, you just get focused on one thing and that's all you can do. That was me last summer. I could not do anything except this book. And it was like all day, all night for about 3 months. And that, you know, that ended up being like a 600-page deal. So there we are.
Well, will you start by giving our listeners an overview at the basics of which colors relate to what organs? Are some colors more medicinal than others? And are there some more rare colors?
Okay, so yeah, thank you. Good one. So these are laws of nature. This is something that is really interesting because it indicates that a higher intelligence exists. And, you know, this is like a complete, like a break. Basically, it's that old quote. I think there was a quote out there that said, the deeper you get into something or anything, the deeper you get to God, because you start to realize the intelligence that overarches everything. So let's start with red foods. Red foods are heart and blood. They have to do with chi energy, the way you mobilize your energy moment to moment, day to day. But they're also volatile, just like fire. and they can burn you. And so that's the whole thing of like, hey, you know, cherries are great, you know, beets are great, but you can't do beets every day because the oxalic acid. You can't do red meat every day either because you'll have an overdose and eventually cause heart problems. But if you've been a vegan for many years and you are deficient in heart and blood and in chi, then red meat's the right thing. You know, it depends on the situation. You know, this whole thing of like, the one diet is right for everybody in every situation has obviously totally been, you know, we got rid of that. That just doesn't make any sense. And so now we're getting a little bit more sophisticated. And so red is that. Now, what's interesting is yellow. Let's get to yellow. Yellow has to do with tissue building, tissue repair. Yellow foods have to do with immune system and lungs. And one of the things that's interesting about yellow is the yellow basically is the easiest color for nature to produce. So if you look into nature, the dominant color pigment or color pigments in terms of the amounts of them, tens of thousands of them, is by far yellow. There are more yellow pigments in nature than any other color easily.
Wow.
And yellow appears to be the easiest color for nature to produce because nature doesn't produce colors, you know, the way that we think, you know, that our TVs produce color or even our TV or our computer screen. It doesn't mix colors to make colors. It has to produce each color independently, and yellow appears to be the easiest one. Now, that's why, by the way, like folic acid or folate, that's a yellow. Vitamin K1, that's a yellow. So when you're, like, building a baby, you got to make sure you have enough yellows because yellow is about tissue building. If you're trying to repair your tissue, you got to have a lot of yellows there. Orange. Orange is yellow in action. It's basically, it's happiness in action. And by the way, yellow has been correlated to happiness. If you eat yellow and orange foods, you will be happier, according to the research. Quercetin, this is a fun one. You're going to get a kick out of this guy. Quercetin is a yellow, by the way. It's a yellow gold color. It's found in almost all fruits and vegetables. And quercetin is the most prevalent in a particular food. It's a food we probably have in our fridge right now. We never have touched it after using it once, which is capers. You know capers? Like people have them in the back of their fridge, right? Capers is the highest of any food.
Bagels.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, like, people put capers on their food, and then they use it once, and then it sits in the fridge for, like, 8 years before they have a complete fridge clean out. Anyway, you should actually eat those capers because they're the highest in quercetin. You're going to get a kick out of this guy. But you know the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall of Jerusalem?
Yes, back in the homeland.
Right, the Western Wall of Solomon's Temple, right? This is, like, you know, one of the holiest spots on earth. And every day, I was staying right across from the Wailing Wall when we were in Jerusalem. Every day, people are pouring in there, pouring out their prayers, pouring out their tears. Well, there are six plants that grow out of the Wailing Wall. One of those plants is capers. So this is interesting to me. The happiest food on earth is right there. It's right there, right in the face.
Wow.
Oh, and when I put that together and I was like, oh my God, this is cool. The world's like that. There's a cosmic giggle.
It's crazy.
Built in, right? Is that crazy?
Yeah.
I love this stuff. Unbelievable, right? So let's get back to orange. So orange is anti-inflammatory, right? And the most popular orange compounds that we know of are beta carotene and curcumin. And curcumin is what's in turmeric. And of course, you know, you being a Hawaii, you know, plant grower, you can't get too far into Hawaii without growing Olena or turmeric, right?
Yes.
It's one of the greatest of the great of the great.
We make out of it. Yes.
What's that now?
We make the ginger, Olena, and honey, and a little lemon is the sunshine juice that quickly ferments and turns into a probiotic drink. And, it's just a brilliant sunshine orange color. It's really incredible. And really healing anti-inflammatory.
It is just, you know, like one of the greatest things about living in Hawaii is you get access to some of those great super nutrients like turmeric, fresh right out of the earth. We were planting a cacao tree the other day over here, and lo and behold, we had a bunch of kids over, and they're digging a hole, and boom, they just upturned a hole like the size of my head full of turmeric. It was just amazing.
Oh, beautiful. That's
it was beautiful.
Right there. Jackpot.
Yeah. So orange is that green. Green foods, like your green vegetables, are super critical for two reasons. One is they are always found with yellows. Green and yellow are always together in nature. There can never exist any chlorophyll compound in the world without four carotenoids with it, and those carotenoids are almost always yellow, orange, and sometimes red. So there will always be four carotenoid compounds that come with, which are color pigments, that come with any chlorophyll, and they're almost always yellow, so it's going to be a yellow-green combination. So that's one part of green, is that green's going to bring you more happiness because it's connected to yellow. The other part of green is that chlorophyll is your deodorizer, your detoxifier, your neutralizer. It's what stabilizes the atmosphere. It's also great for lungs. It's powerful for liver, and that's where green fits in.
Well, I just was looking at some variegated bananas that have that green and that yellow. So now that you mention it, that makes a lot of sense.
And the yellow, by the way, I'm looking at my variegated noni right now, actually, right out the window. The yellow that you see there is actually lutein. It's lutein. And lutein, L-U-T-I-E-N, I think, actually, or E-I-N. Lutein, what's interesting about it is when they started investigating what color pigments were going to be found in the eyes, this is back like 50, 60 years ago, they thought they'd find beta-carotene in the eyes, and they did not. What they did find is that your eye uptakes lutein, and that lutein is a very important eye nutrient, and it's a yellow.
Wow.
And by the way, when I say these things, when I say quercetin's yellow and lutein's yellow, they can never be any other color. They're structurally a yellow. They absorb the fraction, the opposite end of the spectrum. So, for example, they absorb ultraviolet and violet and blue light, and even to some degree a little bit of green, and they absorb a little bit of red and a little bit of orange, and they reflect back to you yellow. So you cannot have quercetin that's like another color. It's always yellow. Lutein's always yellow.
So it's the color itself and the frequency which that color is that holds the medicinal properties for our health.
Yes, that's what's been discovered. That's it. And what's crazy about it is that yellow, like for example, don't worry, be happy, you know, that little smiley face that you see, right? Don't worry, be happy. It's always a yellow.
Right.
Why? Because yellow is always about happiness.
Well, I can't help but to think about the frequencies of the chakras and people of the yellow frequency are supposed to, in metaphysics, be that happy aura, the happy vibe. So it definitely makes sense.
And so that overarching logic, and that it all fits together like a big riddle, is that's one of the things that got me about the whole color cure as well. And I do want to say one more thing about yellow, is that quercetin, which is so predominant in capers, has also been found, and this is something that's been found out in the last 10 years, has been found to be the number one active ingredient in St. John's wort.
Huh.
So, wow. Right? So, St. John, what does St. John's wort do?
Right.
Makes you happy.
Yeah.
So,
oh,
yeah, it's well, just, this just goes on and on.
So, okay, so as far as the colors, I think we have one more. I think it's the blues and the violets. Were you saving the best for last, David? Is it your favorite, or what do you have to say about the blues and the violets?
Okay, yeah, and blacks, too, because there's black and there's white.
Right.
So let's get into violet. The violet's a good one for next. Violets are usually being produced by anthocyanin type of pigments. And violet is a rarer pigment in nature, but we do see it. We see it a lot in flowers, and every now and then you see it in leaves, and every now and then you see it in fruits. And violet is a super powerful protector of the nervous system, in both the peripheral nervous system, like our brain, our eyes, but is also a protector of our gut nervous system. Because we have two nervous systems, as you know. We have a gut nervous system that develops completely independently from our central nervous system, and then we have our central nervous system, which is like our spinal cord, all the derivative nerves, and then our brain and our eyes. So violet is the protector of the nervous system, which is a super important energy, by the way. you know, for a human being. I mean, that is one of the things that distinguishes us from every other creature in the world, except for the marine mammals like dolphins and whales, is our nervous system is extremely developed.
Right.
And now black is really cool. Black, so the idea, that kind of the esoteric idea is that when you look out into the night sky, you see points of light, right? And those are, you know, supposedly stars that are out there. And by the way, you see how I say that? I always say supposedly because I don't buy into anything about, like, whatever our theory is today, it will be different tomorrow. And so when somebody says to me, well, don't you think that those are actually stars out there? It's like, no, I don't. I think that's a great theory, and it sounds like a great idea. And, you know, our science could later, as it develops, could have another idea. So anyway, the idea is that those are points of light out there, and when you bring that to Earth, everything inverts, and the points of light are actually black items, black substances, black foods, like a shaga mushroom growing on a tree. It's a rare thing. Like when you look out in the sky at night, you see almost all blackness. But on Earth, you see almost all colors and light, but it can be inverted and flipped around in that those dark spots, the olives on a tree, black olives on a tree, for example, or, you know, black sapote, or, you know, the incredible black, brown, purple of a cacao bean. Those are the stars of our daylight time here terrestrially on the Earth. So that's how powerful black substances are, and they're always associated with longevity, or jing, and basically black foods increase our longevity.
Wow, I love how you put that. You know, the we really don't have anything else to go on but our own direct experience and clinical studies. So, you know, it's something that I appreciate about you, and that you're always digging deep with those clinical studies. You turned myself and much of the world onto the health benefits of raw chocolate. So I know we've just scratched the surface here, and I want to thank you, by the way, for the wall of chocolate. I think we all have you to thank for what we see in the health food stores today, and definitely the inspiration behind my book, The Raw Chocolate Diet, and a lot of the inspiration behind medicinal foods. So thank you, by the way. And being a chocolatier yourself, you know how the purple the raw chocolate is before it's processed and roasted. I'm sure our listeners are interested in learning more about the flavanols we're talking about in chocolate. And in my book, I included a section about the flavanols and how they feed healthy gut flora. And actually, an article printed in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition showed how the flavanols in cacao are really an effective prebiotic feeding healthy, you know, bifidus, acidophilus bacteria. And they actually had a random double-blind controlled intervention study that showed how the healthy gut flora was digesting the flavanols and making more of these good buds. So these flavanols are colors as well, right?
Yeah, actually, it's really interesting. I'll tell you, the most disorganized area probably of all food science is this area of identifying the different types of flavonoids that are in our food. So the flavanols, F-L-A-V-A-N-O-L-S, is different from the flavonoids, F-L-A-V-O-N-O-I-D-S. Sometimes the flavanols are called flavanthriols, which is what's in chocolate and green tea. And you're exactly right. They're really perfect for the gut flora. They're actually the best kind of nutrition for the gut flora. And again, they are prevalent in green tea, and also prevalent in black tea or anything from the tea plant. And they're also prevalent in chocolate. And what a great combination, by the way, those two together. And they are generally, they move from clear to white to yellow, actually, the flavanthriols or the flavanols. And that's kind of interesting because they're basically like, they're at the very beginning of the development of color. They're structurally at the beginning of the development of color. And then as you start to get into like the chemistry of the cacao bean or the cocoa bean or the chocolate bean or the nut that all chocolate is made of, you start to get into these anthocyanins, which are also prevalent in the cacao bean. And that's where you get that purple. And then as the cacao bean sprouts, those purples layer in on top of each other and they congeal, and that will turn brown and then eventually in some cases even black. And that does correlate, by the way, to the change in chocolate from being, when it's fresh raw like that, it's purple, it's really nervous system, unbelievable protector powerhouse. Then it gradually starts to get a little bit more as it goes brown. Brown is digestive system, by the way. Brown foods are digestive. That's why people like drink coffee in the morning. Their brown coffee is basically cleaning them out. That's why people got to have their coffee in the morning. They got to have a bowel movement. And then the black is the Jing. And by the way, that purple, brown, black combination is a very powerful combination for health and longevity.
Well, I heard the Kuna Indians off the coast of the Caribbean coast, they drink up to 5 cups of the cacao elixir. As you know, it was traditionally, cacao was received as a drink. And we used to do cacao ceremonies together, so it was a pleasure to mix up the ceremonial brew for you. And the Harvard study shows that these guys had no incidence of heart disease, no high blood pressure, and they attributed it to the cacao. I guess more importantly, and I guess why you're here and why this book is so important, is because we've got the catechins, the epicatechins, the procyanidins, and the flavanols, and it gets pretty confusing here. So it obviously, these are all need to be broken down. And so what you're saying is the purple part of the cacao, you're saying that's not a flavanol, or is it?
Right, it's not a flavan-3-ol. A flavanol or flavan-3-ol is like a catechin, an epicatechin, a gallocatechin, those kind of things. What those are is actually, the purple pigments are actually anthocyanins. Now, anthocyanins, that's an incredible subject right there, because it appears to me that there are actually two types of pigments that have very multifaceted uses that have been used by many, many different plants all over the world and throughout the history of the world that are kind of in competition with each other. And one of them is the betalain group of pigments that are found in beets, the whole quinoa family, all cacti, all carnivorous plants. The betalains are a highly bioavailable, usually red or yellow-orange pigment. They're very notable right now in Hawaii because the bougainvilleas are flowering. They're flowering purple. It's a red-purple. That's a betalain pigment. And then there's the anthocyanins. Now, the betalains exist completely separately from plants that carry anthocyanins. They never are found together. And the anthocyanins are present in fruit trees, they're present in nut trees, they're present in trees like maple that change their colors and turn purple or red in the fall when they drop their leaves. Anthocyanins have many, many different properties and are utilized by plants to do different things, just like the betalains are used to do different things, but those two groups never meet each other. And they're both extremely nutritious. Really, I think the real pinnacle of pigment nutrition, and there are things you want to start thinking about when you are eating.
The betalains would be something like annatto, that red pigment.
No, annatto. That's a good question. I'd have to check what the actual pigment is in annatto. But like I'm talking about beet. All cactus fruits like pitaya, dragon fruits will either be white, red to maybe slightly purple, or yellow-orange. Those are always betalains. But when you get to blueberries, okay, Blueberries are always going to be anthocyanin-rich. When you get into most of the types of foods that we're all used to eating, with the exception of beets and amaranth and quinoa, most people listening right now are going to be getting their betalains from beets and amaranth and quinoa.
I think now that I think about it, the annatto is more of a carotenoid, and so these purple, how come we don't see more purple plants? They seem like they're kind of rare. Do you find that?
Yes, and the purple implant is almost always going to be an anthocyanin, with the exception of like a bougainvillea, which will flower purple. In certain types will flower purple. And it's because purple is very symmetrical. It's a very organized molecule. It is a high cost for nature to produce a purple. And by the way, we haven't got to blue yet. And the thing about blue that's so darn crazy is that blue is even rarer. Blue is the rarest of all pigments, the most difficult by far for nature to produce, by far. I mean, there's probably less than 15 blue pigments in all of nature, and they're extremely rare and far and few and far and in between. And they are extremely organized, extremely symmetrical, actually very beautiful when you look at them chemically. And if you're kind of reading between the lines with what I'm saying here, I'm describing something very interesting, and that is the discovery that, and it's a crazy discovery, that every color has an associated shape.
Wow.
And the most difficult of those shapes, the most symmetrical, the most organized, really in some cases, and I would argue the most beautiful is blue, and the least organized, the least symmetrical is yellow.
So tell us more about these magic blue foods. Do you think that there was a time on Earth when there was more of them, or is it left over from maybe some ancient time when the sun's frequencies were more conducive to growing plants with a blue-violet pigment? Or is that just, what do you think about that?
It's a great question. It's very speculative. I mean, to me, blues are the latest to arrive. But then there will be exceptions, like the blue-green algae that have phycocyanin, which is one of the most fascinating water-soluble blue pigments ever. And I'd recommend if somebody's really wanting to, like, figure out, like, okay, what's the structure of phycocyanin? And let me compare it to something that's yellow, like quercetin. You know, just look at the two, you look at them both, and you'll see that the symmetrical difference between them and the efficiency difference between them in terms of the just how, you know, how difficult it was for nature to produce them. So the answer to your question is not been figured out. I think that blue is the latest to arrive. Blues are extremely interesting. So, for example, when we look into the blue sky, there's no blue pigment in the air. So it's a refraction or a structural coloration that causes it. Basically, from Steiner and Goethe's perspective, when you stand in light and you look into darkness, for example, I'm standing in light right now. I'm lit up on the planet. The sun is on me. I'm looking out into the heavens. Those heavens are dark, but I see it as blue. So when I stand in light and I look into darkness, I see blue. When I stand in darkness and I look into light, the rising sun, for example, I see red. Now that's Goethe's perspective. Rudolf Steiner's perspective. The perspective that we all got taught, which is the Newton perspective, that white light is fractionated into all the different colors, to my mind, actually makes no sense. It is not even possible. What causes the colors to occur, I'm more into Steiner's position on this, but what causes the colors to occur is a meeting of two different forces. Those forces, one is light and the other is darkness. And obviously darkness has a bad name. It doesn't have anything to do with the Prince of Darkness or anything like that. Just two opposing forces, and they create an interference field between them, and that interference field is where we will see colors.
Well, our daughter goes to a Waldorf Steiner-inspired school, so I'd like to take the latter viewpoint with you, and thanks for putting kind of to rest that theory that I've heard that these blue foods came from the past. It makes sense if they're more highly organized that they would have arrived later on the scene. We have a product at medicinal-foods.com called the Vitae Elixir, which we call the Purple Drops. And I know you're familiar with this product. When I showed it to you at the last Longevity Conference, you recognized it from the early 70s. People report it helping with a host of ailments from skin disorders to cancer. We use it on candida because after a few months it starts working at the roots. And if there's any medicine that seems like it's pure color, it's this stuff. One thing that amazes me about it is, it's color. If it spills, it's just going to stain everything around it forever. And what's really interesting is when it's placed in an alkaline solution, like raw milk or alkaline spring water, or water treated with mineral drops or the Crystal Energy, which for those of you that aren't familiar, Crystal Energy is created by Einstein-level genius Patrick Flanagan, who studied the Hunzas and how they lived so long and attributed their longevity to their water and the tiny spherical colloids or minerals that percolated through the glacier for thousands of years. And this Crystal Energy, you put it in your water, it structures the water, it escorts out heavy metals and toxins through its dual tetrahedron silica molecule. It's pretty amazing stuff, but the main thing is that it alkalizes the water. And when you add the Crystal Energy to the water beforehand, before putting in this the Vitae elixir, the Vitae turns from what would normally be this red with a more acidic water, it turns into this beautiful blue-violet indigo color. And if we're eating the color of foods, and then does this medicine change when we change the pH of the substance? I've always wanted to ask you this, David, so this is the perfect time.
Okay, so you definitely have that Vitae elixir is definitely an anthocyanin containing product, because when you take anthocyanins and you alkalize them, you will send them towards the blue end of the spectrum. When you acidify them, you'll send them towards the red end of the spectrum. And there's an example of this that I'm sure you're familiar with, which is the blueberry that grows on the Big Island of Hawaii. And that blueberry is actually red on the Big Island of Hawaii. It's a blueberry. Everything about it is a blueberry. It looks like a blueberry. It tastes like a blueberry, except there's one problem. The berry's red, and it has to do with the acidity of the soil on the Big Island, of the lava flow. And you'll see it out in the lava fields. If you go to, you know, where the craters are, where the main Kilauea, you know, volcano activity is at, and where there's starting to be growth coming out of the crater and out of the lava, you'll see these berries growing. And those are actually blueberries, but because of the acidity, they're going to be red. As you alkalize, you create a more alkaline environment, or have alkaline minerals available, then it can actually push that color towards a purple and eventually towards a blue. And so alkaline substances will push the anthocyanin towards the blue end of the spectrum. And that's why blues are so rare, is because they require an alkaline mineral like a calcium, for example, or magnesium to actually exist, to actually be able to display that color.
Wow. Now that you mention it, you know, we always eat the berries up there, the favorite food of the Nene, and hiking way out on the Mauna Kea, Mauna Loa slopes, way out in the forest, you find a lot of those berries. And you're right, they are red, so that's really interesting. So we can change the mana or the medicine that's in the berry just by adjusting the pH. And would you say just steer it towards the blue, or I guess it depends on what your body needs, because everybody's different, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is the thing. It's like, what do you need? Do you need more of that red energy? That's like that fire energy, which is like chi. And, you know, there's a great thing to be said about red energy, which is you get the job done. Get out there and get it done. And so when people get lethargic or they can't fire up that chi, that's when red's important. But when we need to go in deep, when we need to get down to the core, to the bone marrow, and work from that place, that's where the blues come in. That's where phycocyanin from blue-green algae is going to come in. That's where blueberries come in. And blueberries, by the way, yeah, they're a purple-blue, but they do actually have a blue pigment in them. And that's when you're going to start focusing on, you know, more of a different color, because you've got to go inward. That's the whole idea of the blues, right? The blues is about an inner soul-searching journey going into the core, and that's really what blue foods can do for you as well. And they do work in your core and at the bone marrow level, as the research on phycocyanin has indicated. And again, for those folks who are listening right now, you're wondering, well, phycocyanin, what's that? It's the blue part of the blue-green algae. It's the blue part of spirulina. It's the blue part of AFA, blue-green algae.
Well, I'm going to take some of those Ohello berries and mix them into an alkaline solution and see if they don't turn blue on me. But, David, what are your favorite colors to eat yourself?
Personally, I'm into the black, brown, purple side. I've noticed, because I have a farm here in Hawaii, and then I've got a farm in central Ontario, Canada. I've noticed that when you're at that level of latitude and that level of cold, like it's minus 33 degrees centigrade today there. Just to give you an idea of what we're dealing with over there. When you're dealing with that kind of extreme cold and that oblique angle of the sun, because it's so far north, at that point you want to protect yourself from blue light, actually, and that's basically blacks and browns and purples will absorb the blue light and the ultraviolet, which can harm you, essentially. You know, that's the thing about being in the Arctic. It's like, you think, oh, the Arctic, I'm, you know, no problem from the sun. But actually, if you're out in the sun in the Arctic, you can get fried real fast. We're both skiers, and you know, we both are out in the snow quite a bit. You can get hit quite a bit by light that you don't really suspect it. It's not like being on the beaches in Hawaii when you're out on the ice. And that's the side that I like to get protection from. Yeah, it's intense.
So, do you believe that in your research, that the colors in the food can be concentrated and work just as well, even better, you know, eaten as an extract? Or do you think that there's other aspects involved which kind of synergistically makes these colors more powerful if you eat them as whole foods?
I think it's both. I think it depends on where you are in your journey. I mean, at this point, I think for you and I, we're so far into this for so many years. Basically, I'm using things like Hops X Factor, which is a concentrate yellow xanthohumol. It's a yellow gold compound from hops. You can concentrate things from grapes like resveratrol to get that yellow resveratrol. Resveratrol is yellow, but it's associated with purple plants, and it helps the plant produce a purple, by the way. It's a process of the yellow sucking up ultraviolet so that the plant can isolate that purple. That's a very important part, by the way, of the development of certain colors, especially blues and purples, is you have to have a yellow present there in order to suck up the ultraviolet so that it actually shows a sharper purple. So it depends on what your goals are. What's that now?
So combining them can help work together. That's what you found.
Yeah, that's what nature does. Nature will combine many of these pigments together. You might see a blueberry and go, oh, it's just blue or purple or blue-purple, but in fact, there's a lot of yellow there. And this is something you see with avocados. Like, when you cut open an avocado, you're like, oh, wait, there's like a bunch of different colors there. There's greens, there's yellows. The green is chlorophyll. The yellow is lutein. And then on the outside is black, which is indicating like a Jing property for many avocados. So, this is the kind of thing that nature is doing. It's mixing all these colors together. Although it doesn't mix colors to produce them, one color will predominate. And that one color is usually green, but it could also be black. It could also be purple. It might be something else. So it could also be yellow.
Well, I know it has a lot to do with our body types. And if you look at doshas, pitta, for example, might want to avoid some spicier red foods, while someone like myself, a vata, the green foods are so nourishing and healing for me. So I know that, and I appreciate that you have always called out the non-dogmatic approach to health and really helped people on their journey to find out what's right for them. So you mentioned a couple of these products, and I would love, we just have a little bit of time left as far as I know your schedule goes, but I'd love to hear about some of the studies that you mentioned. But first, can you just tell our listeners where they could get some of that Hops X Factor, as well as you sell some amazing chocolate that has the resveratrol in it as well? Yes.
Yes, and so
we've
been working on this.
Get some of that.
Okay, so that's at sacredchocolate.com, and we've been working on different chocolate formulations there for a lot of years, and one of the best formulations happened as an accident. That's what eventually led to the Hops X Factor product, and it was a strangely enough, all these years ago. I mean, it's amazing how it comes back at you. This guy had been studying food pigments for years, and he'd arrived at resveratrol being one of the most important, which is in grapes. It's in purple grapes. It's in purple mulberries. It's in purple roots like Hoshuwu, by the way. And it's also, by the way, there's also, guess what? There's also resveratrol in chocolate. It's in the, it's associated with the purple pigments and the anthocyanins. And anyway, so he had studied that, and then what had happened was is he'd gotten into research on hops. You know, the hops plant is very close to grapes. It's also very close to cannabis. I mean, those three plants are very closely related to each other. Super important to know that. So anyway, he'd gotten into hops research, and he, there's one element of the pollen. There's three major compounds, pigments in the pollen. One of them is xanthohumol, and it's not estrogenic. It's an extraordinarily powerful natural aromatase inhibitor. It's an epigenetic powerhouse, which means it helps the cells to do the right thing. Epigenetics is the science of using food and nutrients and environment and attitudes and beliefs to influence our genetics. And in fact, that's always been the dominant factor in genetics is all the, you know, the environment, not the actual genes themselves. The gene will flip on if the environment's terrible, and the gene will flip off if the environment's great, you know, if it's a bad gene. And if the gene is a good gene, we want to flip it on with all the great nutrients and the lifestyle. And so this science has led to the discovery of xanthohumol, which this scientist came to us and he said, hey, I want you guys to put this in a chocolate bar. And I was like, okay. So we started experimenting with it, and it was like we hit a flavor that was that the, which is the Longevity Bliss chocolate bar. I think you've had that, Sky. We had a flavor, and we're like, what in the world is this flavor? This is the most, I think personally it's the best flavor ever that I've ever tasted any food I've ever made or even ate. And then eventually people started coming to us and they said, we're like, hey, we like the chocolate bar, the Longevity Bliss, but we want actually just that color pigment itself, the xanthohumol. And that's what led to the birth of the Hops X Factor product.
Wow. Well, I remember you gave me some hops extract, and that is some really amazing amazing product. And I think the thing that stands out the most is its ability to help you focus and just have this clarity of mind. And so, you know, I always appreciate the science that you're bringing forth. And is there any clinical studies that you'd like to share that are just really exciting for you in writing this book that could be a mind bender for some people?
Yeah, one of the things that was so cool is I was able to immediately apply some of this research to the development of one of the new NutriBullets. You know, so many people know me as being the NutriBullet spokesperson, and basically I co-designed that and had a very strong influence on the design of the latest one, which is the NutriBullet RX, based on the color cure. And one of those discoveries is about carotenoids. Now, carotenoids are like oil pigments. You know, they're like oil paints. They're oily. Even though they show up in green leafy vegetables that are, they're essentially water-based, like tomatoes are loaded in lycopene, which is a carotenoid, but it's a watery fruit. It's not like an avocado, right? So it's weird that these carotenoids, which are oil paints that nature uses, show up in watery fruits and vegetables and leaves. Well, it turns out that these can be absorbed in a very significantly improved way by following three steps. And these steps are built into the NutriBullet RX design, and here's the three steps. One is, if we just ate the tomato or the kale, the amount of carotenoids that we'd absorb is less than 5%. That's a scientific fact. It's not the news we wanted to hear, but it's a scientific fact. We don't absorb very much of it because we need to observe the first step, which is we'd have to chew that food up a lot. So we'd absorb about twice as much by blending it or juicing it. Because we're breaking down the surface area. We're exposing the absorbability. So that's important. So if we blend or juice the food, we absorb twice as much of the carotenoids. And we get it up to about 10%. If we blend or juice the food with oil or something fatty, like an avocado, like I just had some pistachios a couple hours ago, or something like maybe it's olive oil, you can increase the absorption with the blending and the oil, or with the juicing with the addition of oil, to up to 40%. That's a very significant difference, which, yeah, that's like a crazy difference. Now, let me just talk this through. Basically, if you're drinking vegetable juice, like kale juice or any of the other great stuff that's out there, almost all of that goes through you. You don't really, you absorb about 10% or less. I mean, 10% is very liberal. You're usually, people are absorbing less than that. Of the most powerful thing in the food, which is the color pigment, which is the number one antioxidant. We, you know, I haven't mentioned this yet, but I should mention it. These pigments are way more powerful antioxidants than vitamin C. They're anywhere from 3 to 50 times more powerful than vitamin C. So, some estimates, like with astaxanthin, go even higher, say it's 500 times more powerful. It depends on what you're reading and what study you're reading. So these are the most powerful antioxidants, and in many cases, they are super nutrients. In most cases, they're super nutrients. Okay, so then we get to the third step, which is, okay, we're going to blend the food or juice it. We're going to add oil to it. Now, here's the other one, heating it. If you heat that food to your body temperature or just above, so it's actually coming in like basically like a soup that's like right at that temperature where you're kind of sipping it, but you can't drink it because it's too hot, you increase carotenoids by another 60% from 5% that we started out with. That's 12 times higher. Now, that's something you feel. I've been experimenting with that because I've got the NutriBullet RX. I've had all the prototypes over the years. We've been working on it, developing it. So I will spend days just doing, like, just tomato basil soup, you know, from the yard, and then just, you know, letting it go through the process that it automatically does. It blends the food. I add olive oil to the food, and then it delivers it at exactly the heat that I'm talking about, that sipping temperature, and you feel it. Now, the research on this indicates that you absorb so much more carotenoids, like lycopene, and beta-carotene, and lutein, and zeaxanthin, and all the other ones, that you actually get an immunological benefit from it. I've noticed that. I think that's actually correct. I've actually felt that, and it's a benefit that lasts for about 72 hours, and then it starts to wear off. And this is really important, I think, Sky, because, you know, we're dealing with a food crisis in the middle of America. I mean, I think you had a brilliant introduction to the show as to what's going on. And basically what's going on is that the control freaks are going to try to outlaw everything that's good for you. But there's certain things they can't outlaw, like tomatoes. So through the NutriBullet RX and through the NutriBullet outreach, I'm reaching kind of the middle of America and teaching people how they can take their tomatoes and make them 12 times more powerful than just eating them.
Well, and of course, by cooking them, then that's where it starts to go the other way, where the antioxidants start greatly decreasing. Thus, raw chocolate has 300 to 400% higher antioxidants than regular chocolate. So I'd love for you to be able to just wrap up here with sharing where they could get a NutriBullet, as well as I know we're going to link up at the Longevity Conference, and maybe if you want to just share something about where people can connect with you in the future, or maybe at that event, then we'll wrap up here, and I'll leave you with a song by my lovely wife, Omra.
All right. Well, I do want to mention that we, both of us, Sky and myself, the two of us, if you're listening right now, will be at the Longevity Conference, longevityconference.com. And that's, if you can make it there, April 24th through 26th, 2015, please be there. It's going to be one of the most incredible events ever. I mean, we had such a blast. The last one Sky and I did, or the one, last one you were at, it was amazing. And this time we're at the Anaheim Hilton in Southern California. So make sure you check out that website. See if you can be there. Dr. Mercola is going to be there. Dave Asprey is going to be there. Of course, Sky is going to be there. I'm going to be there. We're going to have a really, really good time. Anyway, to get a NutriBullet, the best deals that I offer in the country are always on the Home Shopping Network. And I'll be on March 1st, 2015, all day with literally the best deal in the country. And I'll probably get you a price that's about 30 to 35% less than what you'd pay anywhere, and it's free shipping. So that's what I'd encourage you to do if you want to save money on that product. So it will, any free shipping anywhere in the United States, including Hawaii and Alaska. Well, that's a great deal.
Awesome. David, it's been inspiring as always, and I sure am looking forward to connecting at the Longevity Conference. And I know that together, united, we strike, and we're all doing this to help uplift and bring awareness to all of us, because we're all growing and evolving together, and we'll continue to get this information out as you continue to you know, push the envelope. We'll lick the stamps. So David, aloha, mahalo, And thanks for being with us here, brother.
Thank you so much.
Of night.